Tuesday, November 28th, is Giving Tuesday. It's a day created to help you become more aware of organizations that serve a cause, answer a need, and how you can support their work. Now, for some, I know being asked to give is easy, but, well, not for everybody in the here and now of what is our economy. Or maybe you're one of those who believes that what you perceive as a little wouldn't make a difference, so instead you just don't give at all. You can call it giving, donating, philanthropy, but no matter how you label it, groups of all sizes and purposes see it as their only means of existence to get the work that they need to do done. My next guest joins us to discuss the value of giving and some of the priorities that should go with it. She is the Adam Meyerson Distinguished Fellow with the Philanthropy Roundtable, Joanne Florino. Thanks for being here today, Joanne.
Well, thank you so much, Chris, for having me.
Learn more about the Philanthropy Roundtable, philanthropyroundtable.org, and we have that link posted at our homepage as well. I guess the word philanthropy is descriptive, but yet it sounds maybe intimidating for some. People think of that as something, philanthropy for the uber rich, that's someone who could do it on a regular basis, and it's almost like back in the days of the telethons you used to see on TV. You'd see the company head show up with a $5 million check to give to the host, and person sitting at home thinking, well, what difference would my 25 bucks make? It's almost where we eliminate ourselves from the equation of helping others through philanthropy, or like I say, you want to call it giving or donating, whatever you want to call it as.
I completely agree with that, and it's unfortunate. And philanthropy literally means, you know, love of mankind. And I think we all can play a part in that. But there has been an attempt to distinguish between philanthropy and charity. And you're correct. Philanthropy has typically been regarded as, you know, something that involves the big givers, the millionaires, now the billionaires, that it's the search for root causes, that it's intricate, it's strategic, it's all of these things. And charity is merely a Band-Aid. You know, you're just kind of stopping the immediate problem. The reality is that distinction should not be made. And we're all engaged in what I want to call charitable giving, because we all perceive the needs of our community, our state, our country, the world, in very different ways. And individual giving is critically important to maintain the life of those nonprofits that do this critical work on the ground every single day. So while, yes, we tend to publicize the gifts of Bill Gates or the gifts of Michael Bloomberg and the big foundations, the reality is those little gifts really, really, really do matter. I did a lot of my work in a relatively small community where I was in contact with charities that ranged from budgets of maybe $250,000 or $300,000 a year all the way up to a major Ivy League university with, you know, a $1 billion budget. And so I think that people need to understand that those coins they drop into the Salvation Army kettles, or the $10 or $25 checks they write, or maybe small gifts from their donor advice funds, every single gift matters, and participation matters, because more, even sometimes more important than the money, is the fact that you are taking a stake in the welfare of your community. You have a voice about what matters to you, and it's an expression of your own values when you make a charitable gift. So for all those reasons, you know, the more recent decline in individual giving is really a concern on just multiple levels, because everybody's voice should be part of what a community or a nation has to offer those who are most vulnerable.
And if you are one of those who thinks the corporations are doing the heavy lifting so you're not needed, last year, although the numbers were down 3.4% for the individual giving 1.7% of what is, quote-unquote, their disposable income, $499.5 billion was donated to charity. Of that total, corporations were responsible for only $21.1 billion of it. So you, as the individual, you're the empowerment behind that $499 billion that went to charity in 2022. And like you said, Joanne, it doesn't always have to be money. For example, we have a trio of our stations that are doing, they call it Stuff the Bus, where they have the county buses parked at various locations, and they're loading it up with non-perishable fruit, food, frozen turkeys, and the like. So if you're someone is going shopping and they see the bus there to stuff, they can get, go in, buy a couple of extra items, and be a part of that effort.
It's absolutely true. And Giving Tuesday comes at the time it does. And this year, you're right, it's on November 28th. It, you know, it was formed to be something of a to counterbalance Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So, you know, the it's not the always the opposite of consumerism. I think we all want our consumer economy to stay very healthy. But it was to remind people that you've just spent all this money on all kinds of gizmos or clothes or Christmas gifts for your family, but there are other people out there. So here's Giving Tuesday. And Giving Tuesday is wonderful because it, as it's grown, it's become more and more available to people because it does. In communities, there are planned volunteer activities such as the one you mentioned, roadside cleanups, food and clothing collections, blood drives, and increasingly people have found easy ways to give because nonprofits can talk on their websites about Giving Tuesday. Some will put up, you know, completely new Giving Tuesday pages, and usually there's a way to donate online that makes it a little bit easier, quicker for people to give, or there may be these other kinds of volunteer activities that you want to participate in on that day. So I think that it's I'm really kind of calling out Giving Tuesday this year because last year, even though there was that decline in individual giving in 2022, Giving Tuesday did better last year than it had done the year before. In fact, it was an increase on Giving Tuesday of 15% over 2021 and a 25% increase over 2020. And we all know that giving had increased quite a bit in those years because of the pandemic and all the stress it put on nonprofits. So people seem to like these kind of organized giving days. And now that they have other ways to make gifts, they can give through their DAFs, for example, their donor advice funds, or like I said, quickly give online. Or, you know, if you're giving in your community, drop by the organization with a check and get to shake a hand or get to know some of the people that are offering those valuable services. I really believe strongly in local giving and the power of local giving because you can see the results for yourself. So no matter how much you think your gift won't matter, it will matter.
Dr. Joanne Florino, Adam Meyerson Distinguished Fellow with the Philanthropy Roundtable, philanthropyroundtable.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Looked up a stat and I saw it and I figured I want to triple check this because it didn't gel with me immediately, but it seems to be true, plus or minus a year, depending on the study I found. The average age of an individual donor is, in America, 64 years old. They give twice a year, and usually somewhere around $100, $115 a year per person, which the reason why that didn't gel with me, Joanne, is because I always see and hear younger people sounding as activists for causes, but where is the disconnect as far as, okay, it's great to, as they say, talk the talk, but how about walking the walk?
So it's interesting. We know that many young people are giving now in ways that are not so easy to track because they're doing a lot of giving on their phones and they're using Apple Pay or, you know, what they're just not giving in a traditional way. And Giving USA, which is the organization that tracks giving on a year-to-year basis, probably the one where you're getting your stats from, has recognized that. So we know that we're not capturing all the giving in the United States. We're certainly not capturing all the in-kind giving or the volunteerism that's out there. But I also think that, you know, you've hit on to something. So the wealthiest generation right now, and I think it's just about to change, but it's the baby boomers. And some of that is where you are in life. You know, you a lot of you're growing up, you're spending money. You're paying off college loans. You get married. You have kids. You want to buy a house. The money's there. You know, and at some point, you reach a place where you might genuinely feel you have enough to take you through the rest of your life, and you really want to give to others at that point in your life. So that's not surprising. The age isn't surprising. It's a challenge for nonprofits who have been dealing with, you know, their major donors have been these older folks who have time on their hands and money on their hands to kind of make that pitch to younger people. But younger generations are absolutely giving. They're just giving in ways that are difficult to track. They're giving to FundMe campaigns, for example, and we're just not able to pull in those dollars in a way that we can, you know, publish them in the next year. But I don't want to discourage young people from getting involved, because you're right. They have causes that they care about, sometimes ones that are very different from their parents, and they will begin to put their stamp on our culture. I have no doubt about that.
We have to wrap up here, but I just want to leave with this mention, too, that corporate matching, even local business matching, is a great catalyst for greater donations. 84% of people said they'd be more likely to donate. There's a match involved. One out of three said they'd give more if they knew there'd be a matching situation going on. So as a business owner, manager, maybe look within your own books and operations, see if you can make that a possibility, because, well, it's a tax benefit as a donation, and you're encouraging greater donations to a local, national, whatever the cause happens to be. Learn more about the work, the focus of the Philanthropy Roundtable, their website, philanthroparoundtable.org. She is the Adam Ireson Distinguished Fellow with the Philanthropy Roundtable, Joanne Florino. Joanne, thanks for being the catalyst for understanding the value and the means of giving. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, Chris. And yay for Jersey. I'm a Jersey girl.